Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Rich. It is 94WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this Friday morning from our home base every Friday morning, Borgata, the beautiful Atlantic City Casino here. Great to be with you. And, of course, a lot going on in Philly sports, a lot to get to today. You know, Sixers-Knicks, they start up tomorrow night. Phil's White Sox tonight. We got 6 days to the NFL draft. Look, we pretty much got everything but the Flyers. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, the Flyers missed it. But the other teams got a lot of hot stuff going on. NBA and NHL playoffs obviously cranking up. All of it with you at 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
There's an active volcano in Colorado.
Doesn't shock me. I mean, you got the you got the randos out there.
It kind of shocks me. I mean, I've never even heard of this
thing.
It
shocked me.
Dotsero volcano?
Well, yeah, I never heard of it either.
And it's active. And it, in the technical geological sense, any volcano that has erupted in the past 10,000 years is considered active.
Wow.
And this Dotsero volcano in Colorado, it made lava 4,200 years ago.
Well, here's the corresponding thought I'd give you. It's like our earthquake the other day. I mean, you wouldn't think that, but it happened. I mean, the world is...
That's crazy.
Isn't
that happen?
Isn't that incredible? I slept through it, by the way, here at Borgata.
I was driving.
I went up to the room and took a nap.
Sense.
All right, so let's get to it here. I mean, Philly's back at it. Obviously, a little bit dormant topic-wise the last two or three days on our show as the 76ers have, you know, taken center stage, if you will, rightfully so. But, you know, the Phillies have played much better baseball lately. And we'd love to hear from you if you think they have fully turned the corner and now are ready to take off. You know, they've won, you know, a few games in a row, three games above 500. A lot of good stuff there. Braves keep winning. Phillies are winning. So it should set up for a really fascinating NL East race. And then, obviously, you know, the Sixers and the Knicks. I mean, squarely on the table. Your thoughts on that series, belief in Embiid, the whole thing there at 215-592-9494. John, let's crank it up initially here with the draft and the Eagles. You know, I think it's fair to say it has been a sleepy, really an unusually sleepy time from a conversation standpoint as it relates to the NFL draft. It's just been a hard one, I think, for a lot of people to get into. The offensive line thing is never particularly a fun topic to, well, this offensive lineman, no, that offensive lineman. Like, all right, pick 22 doesn't, you know, garner the most attention, like a pick 9 or 10 like the Eagles have had in some recent years. But here's one thing that always garners attention. Whether we have a true Super Bowl contender on our hands with our team. And as we sit here in mid to moving toward late April, I'm curious where everyone stands at 215-592-9494. As Howie Roseman gets ready to, you know, get this draft going and really, frankly, strategize for it. Do you think he is strategizing with the thought in mind that we really have a legit Super Bowl contender here with this Eagles squad? Or is that more one of those things where we certainly hope it, we know anything's theoretically possible, but what you saw at the end of last year is a more defining characteristic on what this team will be? Not that they're going to go out there and go 1-6 in the next 7-game stretch, but that they miss their window. And they're not really elite any longer. Like, where do you stand at 215-592-9494? John, where do you stand on whether this is, in fact, a true
Super Bowl contender? That, yes. And how he talks about it, he doesn't want it called a rebuild. He wants it called a retool. And that's what we do every year. We have a chance every year with the way he plans everything out to a T that this team Cap-wise is going to be the strongest on paper. You know, this team personnel-wise is going to be the strongest on paper. It's going to give our coaches the best chance. Continue to be the strongest where it matters most. And we're about to enter that whole saga again with the draft, where we will focus on the trenches, and some people will think that's boring and it's going to make us a good team, and we're going to continue to be strong where it matters the most. Meanwhile, the question today is, does this team have a chance to be a Super Bowl contender? Of course they do. Look at our chances compared to the rest of our division, first of all. When Andy Reid was here, the first goal every year was win the division.
Sure.
Because we knew that put us in a great spot for the next goal, which is have success in the postseason. So winning your division, we know the merits, and most of the time you win the NFC East, you're going to end up having a good enough record to do something
plus,
in terms of seeding.
Plus, Dallas won it last year, so it's time for someone else.
Well, I know that's people the way think the NFC... there's something to that. Speaking
incredible.
Of Dallas, I mean, you've got a horrendous offseason. Like, let's just compare and contrast what we've done this offseason in terms of free agency and what the Dallas Cowboys have done. The Dallas Cowboys took their quarterback, who was owed $55 million this year, went back to the drawing board and restructured Dak Prescott for savings of a grand total of $5 million. Now they're paying him $50 million this year instead of $55. What in the world? Like, what was the point? They now have CeeDee Lamb ticked off, not showing up for their offseason program because he's not getting paid. You got Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons also absent from the offseason program, and they're trying to say, it's not a big deal. Micah Parsons is also due a huge payday, and that's a big part of what the whole problem is here. They are a mess right now. The other two, but at least they have a quarterback. Yes, they're overpaying him. Yes, they messed up the contract thing, but at least they have a quarterback. You look at what the Giants have. We're hearing they're sitting at number six. They might be trying to trade up to go replace Daniel Jones, who just had his knee reconstructed in the offseason. Meanwhile, the Commanders, they're sitting there at number two. They are certainly, everyone expects that they're going to have a quarterback waiting in the wings, a guy that they like. But when they brought these quarterbacks, they brought four young quarterbacks in, which was so unconventional and just flat out weird, if you ask me. At this stage of the game, if I had my druthers, if that's my team, I want them to know which guy they like, and I want them to start creating a relationship with that guy rather than bringing all four quarterbacks in and having like a, hey, let's go to Disneyland day.
Right.
That's weird. But anyway, those two teams that aren't the Dallas Cowboys are looking for a new guy to build their team around. That's not going to get it done against us. Our offense can carry this team to the promised land this year.
Well, listen, the offense obviously has a lot, and John brings up a lot of great points about the weaknesses of the division. And obviously Dallas has really not asserted themselves this offseason, and you know, maybe they are about to take a step back.
It's bizarre.
Well,
I
agree.
Themselves. It's like something is going on. We may never know the truth behind it.
I
but
agree.
Something's broken.
Something feels really weird down there. I agree with that. The problem from an Eagles standpoint is that's only part of the equation. You know, then there's everything else, including, most importantly, the Eagles themselves. Look, we'll see where you stand at 215-592-9494 if you think the Eagles are a legit Super Bowl contender. When you evaluate the whole thing, the roster, you know, the quarterback, the coach, the defense, the whole thing, do you think it nets out to Super Bowl contender, true elite? Or is it one of those things where it's like, yeah, I know anybody can. I mean, that's sort of the way the NFL is these days, and I know that's certainly what I want. But, no, the Eagles missed their window, and now it's, you know, go backwards time a little bit here. Look, I'll say this. I am on the skeptical side of whether the Eagles are a legit, true Super Bowl contender. I get that, you know, as they did in 2017, things can happen to play your way into it by being better than perceived, and hopefully that happens. I just know, and that happened obviously in 2022. I mean, they didn't lose the Super Bowl because they weren't a true contender. They lost the Super Bowl because they didn't play their best game, not nearly. And they faced a great team and a great coach and a great quarterback, and they lost the game, and I'm still really ticked off about it. But I know those 2 years the Eagles were truly legit. Obviously, in 2004, they were truly legit. That's not what this to me, feels like. Now,
well, we got a long time to go until we had to be truly legit. This team,
I understand, but there are years where you can feel it now. Like, we felt it now in 02, 03, and 04. I felt it going in. I felt it going into last year.
Well, you know what? It's kind of unfair to try to judge that now because we just lost two all-timers, one on each side of the football.
I mean,
that is an issue. And Howie knows that he has to, you know, make up for that.
Yeah,
that's not a small task.
Here's the way I size it up. You know, and I really try to drill down on the question, you know, are they actually Super Bowl contending legit, or is it just one of those things I more hope for? I think there's four reasons why I lean toward no. Like, I think they're on the outside looking at, like, the Super Bowl room. The Eagles are, they're in the room next to the room. The door's a little ajar. They're peeking in there. Hey, what's going on in there? Like, they're looking in the room.
We have the sixth best odds to win.
Yeah, I get it. But here are the four issues to me that lead me to say it's more of a no than a yes. Number one, Hurts. He does worry me. And I know the immediate counter is, look what he did in 2022, and it's in there. And look, it's a legitimate argument. You know, I mean, what he did in 2022 was really special. What he did in that Super Bowl was really special. He probably played one of the best games ever by a quarterback who lost the Super Bowl. I mean, really, he probably did. He probably played probably one of the five best games ever played by a quarterback who lost the Super Bowl. So it's not to say he can't do it. But what happened last year, you know, it was such a tremendous step backwards, particularly by the end of the year. I mean, just very plainly.
We've addressed the problem. We've canceled out the offensive and defensive coordinators.
But that's not him. I mean, that's what helps him, but that's not him.
I'm positive the problem. I'm positive this offense, the things that plagued it last year, slowing down because you're getting sacked, slowing down because Jalen's breaking the pocket every single time he's dropping back.
Look, I think
imagine this offense if Jalen doesn't have to break the pocket every single time he drops back.
I know, but imagine if
imagine
if he doesn't have to break the pocket and still does. You know, that was one of the things.
But that's the point. He needs to get to where he does not
that's my point.
And I expect that he will improve in that regard this year.
So
that Kellen Moore will continue to coach as he installs.
Well, he has
and Jalen will get better at all of these things. There are things he's not good at that he'll be asked to do this year, and he'll have to keep working on.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no doubt you need to see growth from Jalen. So that's number one that does worry me. Number two, I mean, still don't know what happened last year. Still don't know. I mean, whatever the stink was within that roster, within that locker room, we still don't know. But I can't eschew it like something didn't happen. I mean, I feel like something happened. I don't know if they fixed it. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they got rid of the player. Maybe they didn't. I have no idea. So, like, that worries me. I'd say, you know, John touched on this, and this is a big one, too. When I talk about, like, winning the Super Bowl and really competing for it, losing Fletcher Cox, Jason Kelce, and Hassan Reddick in one off season, like, let's put it this way. It would probably be, if they were to really compete for it, it would probably be the biggest bounce back from having lost people in the history of Philadelphia sports. I mean that. Like, to win a Super Bowl after losing three players of that ilk, two of whom were still in their prime. In my opinion, Reddick was still in his prime. I mean, let me put it this way on Kelce. I mean, I don't think you can call it his prime when he's in his 30s, but I saw no drop-off. I just didn't. And Fletcher gave him the best season he's given him in the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. So that is a worry. And then just the defense as a whole. You know, I told you when the offseason began, I thought it would be a 2-year rebuild. I'll stand by that. Obviously, they've improved. You know, that's good.
A 2-year rebuild makes no sense in the NFL. A 2-year rebuild, like, what are you talking about?
On defense. They were so devoid of talent.
You can completely change out one side of the football in the NFL.
Well, they haven't changed out Bradbury yet. They just haven't. Look, 215-592-9494, where you stand as Howie gets ready to embark on this draft. And obviously contained within the conversation is, what do you think the strategy should be? Is it more plug and play here and now? Go get that guard if you feel like you need him because I got a team that can win a title? Or is it more, you know, looking over the horizon a bit because that window has passed and let's view this thing a little different? Where do you stand? 215-592-9494. We'll get into the Phillies. We'll get into the 76ers. Got a lot of audio to play through the show. All that and more with you from Borgata. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It is, of course, as always, 94.9. WIP.
I've been working with my friends at Lexus of Cherry Hill a long time, nearly a decade of leasing with them, and there's a lot of good reasons why. Number one, it's the great people and service you will receive when you enter the dealership. 2024 Lexus models are in, they're moving fast, and the all-new 2024 Lexus GX will be arriving soon. Lexus of Cherry Hill, now a six-time J.D. Power Dealer of Excellence winner for the customer sales experience. You will see Lexus of Cherry Hill difference when you stop in. Go see Tony Labella and his great team. They'll help guide you to the Lexus of your dreams with over 300 new and pre-owned vehicles in stock. Another thing I really love about Lexus of Cherry Hill, they are a veteran-owned and operated business.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Well, if you're lying in bed right now, a little sleepy, maybe that alarm clock went off. Maybe Robert Plant, Jimmy Page will help wake you up a little bit. This is a no-joke song. Great to be with you on this now Friday morning from Borgata. Hey, we got a lot going on, obviously, in the sports scene. And perhaps for the first time in the history of our show, we have not one, not two, but believe it or not, three different Twitter poll questions of the day. They're all brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. You can weigh in on everything, of course, at 215-592-9494. Three different Twitter poll questions with the all-new 2024 Chevy Trax. It's arriving daily at Armin Chevrolet. Starts at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. All right, as we were discussing in the first segment, do you think the Eagles are a legit Super Bowl contender, yes or no? Second poll question, and obviously something we'll be talking quite a bit about during the show, who wins the series, Sixers or the Knicks? And third poll question, it's sort of a element within that Sixers series, and it's something I called for yesterday and a lot of people called for Tobias Harris to be played less. Very few people would say he shouldn't be played less. He should be. The question isn't whether he should be. The question is whether Nick Nurse will. Twitter poll question number three, do you think Nick Nurse will significantly limit Tobias Harris's playing time moving forward, yes or no? Of course, you can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter and weigh in on the phone lines, 215-592-9494. Where do you guys think that one goes? I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, but I also know $185 million guys don't normally play 10 minutes a game. So
yeah, well, these are extenuating circumstances.
They are.
Look, we just saw what a dog looks like. You know, the Eagles talk about dog mentality. Jimmy Butler, that's what we're looking for. That mentality is what we are going for with all our teams, but you know, with our Sixers specifically in this case. And who would that be right now? I mean, I know Kyle Lowry does have that dog mentality, but you know, he's a part-time player at this point. Joel needs to learn how to, I don't know, come closer to replicating that mentality, because he hasn't yet.
Well, he hasn't. I'll tell you this. I was thinking about it yesterday because my admiration when you found out the news about Jimmy yesterday, not that it was a shock, but the MCL and probably out of a month.
My admiration for him goes up. I hate to use the term awesome because it speaks to an injury. But yeah, that's exactly what like the heroes of my youth,
I agree, John,
would do. And now it's, I don't know, maybe it's not as, PC or something.
Well, no, it's
to
just
say
kind of frequent.
That's great to like force your way through an injury.
Yeah.
That's what he did. And I'm telling you, an MCL, Joe, the reason that it's even more impressive is because that hurts. When an MCL happens, the reason an MCL heals itself is because there's blood flow in there. Blood flow means when you tear it, it hurts, it bleeds. He was out there for almost the whole game because that was the first quarter.
Yeah, it was early. It was.
Almost the whole game, not complaining. He's not sitting down there like making it obvious to everyone
that
his knee's bothering him even. Whereas Joel, prior to the tip-off even, he's down there messing with the brace. It's always on Joel's mind. It was not on Jimmy's mind. Winning the game is what was on Jimmy's mind, and I hope that Joel can get to that point where that's what he's most focused
on. Well, obviously, we'll put the whole Sixers thing on the table of discussion. You know, do you think Joel and the Sixers have it in them? I mean, certainly it helps to face a team like the Knicks that are not great. You know, that's very obvious. They're, like I said yesterday, I think they're about as weak. I think they are the weakest two seed I've ever seen. So Sixers, Knicks, where do you stand? 215-592-9494. One other
thing. Jalen Brunson's not weak, though.
No, he's not weak, but he's also not elite. Like, he's really good. I have great admiration for him as well. But he's not
Jason Tatum.
He's not Jason Tatum. That's a good way to put it. That's exactly right. Yeah. One other quick thing, you know, on the Butler thing. So, John, you were one of those guys. Let me give you credit for that. You know, you talked about the guys from your youth and our youth, you know, when we were younger and we'd watch these guys in the 80s before you were playing. Mm-hmm. But you were one of those guys in the 90s into the 2000s. And so I was thinking about it last night.
What, a try-hard guy?
No. a keep-playing guy until you blew out your
knee.
Right. And then
you're right. So, I was a keep-playing guy. I was taught that the difference between a good player and a great player is a great player plays through injury. Like, not just, like, plays through injury. And while you're playing with that injury, no one can tell. Like, that's what everyone was going
for
I was growing up.
So I was thinking about it last night. I want to see where everyone is at on this one. At 215-592-9494. For toughest athlete you've ever seen. Because, like, one just retired in Jason Kelce. He's one of the toughest athletes I ever saw.
Absolutely.
Lane Johnson is one of them.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Ron Jaworski was one of them.
Yes.
Like, there are some guys that just – Ronnie Lott was one of them. For those that don't know, Ronnie Lott one time asked to have the top of his finger chopped off so he could keep playing.
It was like a halftime thing. Yeah. Like, either you miss half this game or we cut your finger off.
Correct.
He's like, no question, just cut my finger off.
It's insane.
It is insane. All right, so – but I have, for me, my number one of my lifetime. So I'm going back, like, 40 years. Now, let's just go right down the room here, right down the panel. John, in your opinion – and you were in the locker room with some dudes. Toughest guy you ever saw. Or gal. Who do you got?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I have to think about it. You have to give me some time.
I know. It's hard. We're being put on the spot.
Rhea, what comes – because I got one from a sport we haven't mentioned yet. And I feel, like, pretty damn confident in the last 40 years this is the guy.
Look, the guys that – my answers are not guys that you would expect. But my answers are guys like – Greg Minuski.
I understand.
You might have heard of Greg Minuski as a coach, as a defensive coordinator for
him.
The Colts.
Yeah.
He was a special teams linebacker.
Yeah, I remember.
An inside linebacker who got way too slow to play linebacker, so they put him on special teams, and he would do anything. He would just put his face on anything. And he had this gigantic head and gigantic neck and gigantic shoulders like Ted Johnson from the New England Patriots, where you would hit those guys and it was like their legs were bolted 30 feet into the ground. You could not move them. Physics defied what they were able to do. And he was one of those guys. I don't understand how he did it.
Yep.
I wish I was one of those guys.
Yep.
Some guys have that talent.
All right, Rhea, where are you at in your lifetime, the toughest you've ever seen?
Moses Malone.
It's a great one.
I mean, you know, the Sixers couldn't get over the hump, and he was just so imposing.
Yeah, he was.
And, you know, I loved watching him play, but for me, that's the one.
All right, here's my guy. Now, I'm going to a much more physical sport than even football, I guess. I'm telling you, in my lifetime, the guy I most admired for physical and then therefore also mental toughness to keep competing in the midst of physical brutality was Evander Holyfield.
Yeah.
Like, that guy was like the embodiment of Rocky Balboa. When, like, the whole Rocky thing makes no sense. He gets hit in the head, you know, 37 straight times, and then he slugs back. Like, it made no sense, right? But it was fake. Evander wasn't fake. Evander was real. Anyway, Jimmy Butler, I thought it was amazing. We've obviously seen some tough dudes through the years. You want to weigh in, you can. 215-592-9494. All right, coming up, all the calls, plus your chance to win Arrowsmith tickets. We'll get to that today. Some audio related to the Eagles as well from Borgata. And if you think the Eagles are a legit Super Bowl contender. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP.
Hit the Grand Slam jackpot with BetMGM. Score a $50,000 bonus bet jackpot when a player you bet on to hit a homer slugs a Grand Slam. Simply head over to BetMGM, place a home run prop bet for any of this weekend's games. If the player you bet on goes yard with the bases loaded, you'll win a share of $50,000 in bonus bets on top of your wager. Take advantage of great home run odds, new ways to enjoy all nine innings with more same-game parlay options and exclusive signature bets found nowhere else. Log into BetMGM or create your account to place a bet on a player to knock one over the fence this weekend. If they hit a grand slam, you'll want a share of $50,000 in bonus bets. Swing.
All right, great to be with you on this Friday morning. Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Phil's also back at it. They'll start a new series tonight against those, White Sox.
3-15.
Worst team in baseball.
Wow. The White Sox. All right.
Like, easily. Easily. They've scored their run differentials like 13 runs worse than the second worst.
Weren't they really good 2 years ago under La Russa?
Like 3 years ago, I think it was.
Got
maybe.
It.
But yeah, but they are, Joe, they're one of the worst teams we've seen in a while. Them and the A's are, I mean, the A's have been better. They're,
you know,
really
bad. The haves and have-nots in baseball are pretty astounding. I mean, and let's remember, the Phillies were a have-not for a good stretch last decade. Like, when you don't have good players, often you then don't try to acquire good players. Because you're like, all right, we'll just take it on the chin for, you know, 2 to 5 years and play all the young guys and see who's good and sign players when we actually have some kind of reasonable shot. Baseball's a weird sport like that. All right, let's go to the phones. And, of course, the only sport without a salary cap, so it kind of lends itself to that. 215-592-9494, where you stand on all this. Most notably, the Sixers as they crank up their series with the Knicks tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. And also the Eagles. Do you believe the Eagles are a legit Super Bowl contender? Let's go to the phones. John in Allentown kicks us off. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
What's up, John?
Sounded like Robin Williams in Good Morning Vietnam, although
yeah,
not,
like you were starting to go
not
there.
Quite as excitable.
There, I almost went there.
Okay. All right,
hey,
what's
John,
up, buddy?
I wish I was more like John. You know, John is Mr. Positivity.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of fan I wish I was. You know, I wish I could be Look at everything on the most positive side, but, you know, being born and raised just outside of Philadelphia, I lean towards the skeptical side of.
Well, I understand. All right, so which team are you talking here? You talking Sixers, or what are you looking at?
Well, I'm looking at the Eagles, and I think there's a little bit of smoke going on over there. I didn't like Jalen Hurts' comments. I watched it. I watched him, and I listened to him. I think he's already building an excuse if things don't go well. That's my opinion there. And I don't. And you know, when I hear the leader of your team, your quarterback should be a coach and a coordinator on the field.
Yeah, that's right.
He should
right.
be an extension of your coordinator. And when he talks like the way he was talking, it sounds like he wants to be able to separate himself, and you can't. If you're the leader of the men on the offensive side of the ball, you cannot separate yourself like that.
So you know? I don't think it's a total separation, but it is. There's an odd element there. I mean, Ike had speculated 2 days ago that he sounds detached were not attached. Same concept. And
I'm saying it's okay that he's not attached quite yet, because this really is the very inception of the voluntary OTAs. Like, this is right now as early as it gets for the offseason program, and the coaches themselves are just sort of communicating, hey, let's design this offense. I'm assuming these offenses are putting their heads together, as Nick Sirianni has told us. They have to collaborate, blend their ideas before you incorporate, hey, Jalen, what do you like here? What do you like here? What do you like here? I have absolutely no problem with the pace, with the way that this is all evolving. I know that they'll get there to where Jalen's likes and dislikes are factored into this offense and the way that it's run.
John, good call starting us off there. You can weigh in, 215-592-9494. You know, I think one conversation, gosh, I wish I could have heard it, and I know we'd all been interested. When Nick Sirianni first sat down with Kellen Moore, two different things. I don't mean a job interview or like, hello, how are you, and tell me about your family. I mean, like, to formulate the offense, two things. One, how much is Sirianni speaking?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, like, how much is it Kellen Moore's show? How much of it is collaborative? That's one thing that we're all fascinated by. But here's the other thing to me that really
would
have been.
And who all is in that meeting?
Well, that's right.
The entire group.
Initially,
of offensive
it's probably
coaches?
Just those two. I mean, you're going to get to that point. But at first, you're going to have the head honcho, if he is, and the sub honcho, if he is, meeting about the offense. The other thing within that conversation I would find fascinating, because Sirianni will never say it publicly, but what did Sirianni tell Kellen Moore about what Sirianni perceives to be the weaknesses in Jalen's game? Meaning, was Sirianni coaching around, you know, like, he never put Jalen under center. So is that an indication that Sirianni doesn't think Jalen can be effective under center? Obviously, part of the objective is to get there.
Did they not run hot routes because Jalen wasn't?
Right.
They didn't think Jalen was up to speed switching those routes with the receivers.
I'd love to have heard that 15 minutes when they go over that stuff.
I believe they don't have limitations based on what Jalen is capable of. I believe Jalen has done little bits and pieces of all these things that they're going to be asking him to do, getting under center.
I disagree.
Throwing the hot route, sight adjusting route. I think all these things through the years, as the son of a coach, he has seen.
But Johnny hasn't done it in the pros.
He has done. I think he has done them some. I mean, we've seen him change plays at the line of scrimmage. We actually we have on occasion seen them throw hot.
Here's
not
what I
often.
I need someone to research this for me. You guys know my thing. I'm not a worker bee. I don't want to research.
You
it.
Want other people to
yeah,
do it?
Yeah. All right, Rhea, an assignment.
Okay.
All right. I'm so sorry to stick you with this. No, seriously. I'd be curious if anyone out there can come up with this answer. How many times last year, when it was not a quarterback sneak, did Jalen Hurts line up under center? Is it under 10? I mean, maybe.
It might, maybe, yeah.
It might be
she's
under 10.
Putting the glasses on. She's on it.
She's going, digging into the internet. All right. So if anyone
that
knows
means
that.
Means I'm serious.
Help Rhea out here. Help us. Because I am curious on something like that. All right. 215-592-9494. Coming up, a comment yesterday. Not the best comment. Not the worst comment. But certainly an unnecessary comment. We'll get to that coming up in 1 minute's time.
If you're in the hot restaurant, hospitality, bar, or casino business, and you're looking for a point-of-sale system that can truly make a difference, call PDQ Signature Systems. PDQ POS has been the top-rated restaurant management system for over 35 years. They offer everything. Mobile POS, self-service kiosks, analytical reporting, contactless functionality, online ordering, loyalty and delivery management, and the best service and support in the industry. PDQ POS is not only the fastest, easiest, and most reliable POS available, but they'll also save you time, effort, and money so you can focus on what really matters, your customers. Whether you have a single location restaurant or thousands of locations, Joe Flynn and his team will create a custom game plan to fit your individual business needs. Trust me, if you want a point of sale system that will truly make a difference, you need PDQ POS. So what are you waiting for? Join the thousands of companies that have already made the switch and go all in with PDQ Signature Systems. Schedule your free demo and business consultation today at PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com.
All right, Sixers, Knicks tomorrow night. Obviously, a series like all these series will be where the 76ers will start on the road up in MSG tomorrow, 6 o'clock, Sixers, Knicks game one. That's tomorrow. Yesterday was Paul Reed. Paul Reed, B-ball Paul. All right, if you missed it, he said something, in my opinion, he should not have said. It's also, though, not the end of the world. I want to be clear. This is not, like, the worst thing ever by any stretch. But he put some bulletin board material out there for the New York Knicks to consume. Let's listen to what he said. He was on a podcast called Run It Back. Here's B-ball Paul talking about to face the Knicks.
Paul, you guys now will face the Knicks in the first round. Was there multiple conversations how we want to get this win to match up with the Knicks? Are you confident in that Knicks? And was it more that, or was it more to avoid the Boston Celtics in the first round to make this game so important last night?
Nah, man. I mean, I feel like we ain't ducking no smoke, but yeah, we wanted the Knicks matchup. Of course, that's the easier team.
No.
I guess.
All right, that's all we need. That's the easier team, I guess. Look.
Oh, God.
You know, all right, James, go ahead. I heard you're a guy.
What are you doing? Like, I mean, we just saw this with Garrett Stubbs in the playoffs. Like, don't say stuff, man. Like, there is no reason to give this team more motivation against you. Like, I just don't get it.
Well, it's not thinking.
It's not thinking because there's zero upside to doing it. Zero.
That's right.
Zero.
That's right. Look, here's the good news. The good news is, in the end, I don't think it's going to come down to that extra level of motivation, although I will admit it could.
I mean, I'll just say, I said on this radio show, there's no way the Diamondbacks are going to use that as motivation,
yeah.
And they did. So
they did.
Just
They admitted it. They did. So, you know, I think the series will squarely come down to Embiid's capabilities and whether he can give them a full go. And if they get the full Joel or near the full Joel, I think the Sixers will win the series. If they don't, I think the Sixers will lose the series. It's part of what makes making a prediction on the series so complicated, because you just don't know what version of Embiid you're going to get and how long you'll get it for. But, yeah, I mean, I could have gone without this comment. And, you know, the fact that it's another backup, like the Garrett Stubbs thing, is backup and Paul Reed backup, you know, irritating. But, again, not the end of the world. All right, so let's all go on the record here, Sixers Knicks. Devin, Sixers Knickerbockers. Who wins the series?
Sixers.
You feel confident?
No, but I'm talking myself into it. Okay. I think it's going to be a tight series. I think the Sixers will take game one, but I do think that they'll ultimately win. I don't know if it's, you know, going to be a sweep. I think it could go to seven games, but I think the Sixers win.
All right, Seltzer, where are you at here? Sixers next. And everyone, of course, 215-592-9494. I will say, more than most series in recent years, this one, to me, feels from the outset like it could set up as a seven-gamer. And if I had a whole fully healthy Embiid, I wouldn't say that. I'd tell you Sixers in like five, honestly.
Embiid's performance
six.
Against the Heat is what really like holds me back from being fully in on the Sixers again in this playoff run.
No, it's a scare.
He needs to learn how to play better with this hindrance. You know, he's still got the brace on. He's still got that thing underneath the brace. It bothers him. It annoys him. We can see that, and he's always reaching for it. As long as he's doing that, as long as he is conscious of that brace, he's going to – it's going to hold him back to some degree. I wish he would stop messing with the brace.
Well,
I wish he could get to where he no longer feels injured. I wish he could get to where he just feels like, hey, I'm playoff and I'm playoff ready, Joel. I feel better than I felt at this juncture of the season at any point. Like, let's go get him, guys. I still feel like he almost feels, I don't know, hey, I need a little more time. You don't get any more time, man. Like, there is no more time.
Well, he's got that Mopey thing out there.
It's time, like, every game you need to get a little more confident in that knee. Right now, he doesn't have confidence. When he feels it click and pop, he thinks it's, like, there's something wrong again.
Well, I agree with what
you're
saying.
Right now, after you get a surgery, you've got all sorts of clicks and pops that have to get out of that thing. And the only way you get those clicks and pops out, they tell you this, I think they call it crepitus, you just go out and you have to go through it. And you have to have faith that that knee will hold up.
Look,
he will discover it's going to hold up. He's just not to where he trusts it yet.
You know my theory. I think what you're describing is part of it. I think he re-injured his knee when his knee buckled last week. Like, I was really struck by the fact he didn't play game 82 when you actually had a pathway to get to the sixth seed, and he didn't play that game. Like, that to me indicates that the knee buckling three or so games after he had come back re-injured it a bit. That's my concern. All right, Seltzer, Knicks, Sixers, who do you got, James?
We keep it real here. I think the Knicks are going to win the series. I agree. I think it goes seven. I think it's a tight series. I don't think it's a lock. I could easily see the Sixers winning, but I just think the Knicks are a better team than the Sixers are. They play together. They got a bunch of guys who played together for a long time with the Nova guys, and they just got a bunch of guys. Like, they're deep. They figured out the way to play with Brunson just shooting a bunch, and it's worked. I just think the Knicks are a better basketball team than the Sixers right now today.
Okay, I can't imagine. If Joel is able to hold up.
That's right. Yeah. Rhea, where are you here?
I think the Sixers can win it, but I need to see Maxey take a bit. I mean, he kind of got a pass for the other night.
Yeah, he did.
Because we focused on, you know, Joel. We focused, obviously, on Batum. And he just didn't play well. And you're going to need that in this. So if Maxey steps up. And I did like what I saw out of Joel at the end of the game. I'll go the Sixers in six.
So I'm going to echo Rhea's sentiment, Sixers in six. And I know it might be the damn dumbest thing I've said in a while, because there's also a chance that Joel just doesn't answer the bell effectively and the Knicks win in five or six. But I'm going to just, God, I so hate when I pick where I know there's a shade of me that there's hope in there. Like, I know it. I admit it. It's a shade of what I'm hoping for. But here's the other thing. I also know the Knicks aren't that good. They're just not. They're not that good. Jalen Brunson is legit. Beyond that, who's legit? Come on. I mean, come on now. So, I'm going to go Sixers, but clearly this thing could go either way. You can weigh in, 215-592-9494. When you weigh in, by the way, today, you got a shot to win a really cool prize, and that's Aerosmith tickets. We're giving away tickets to one of the great American bands of all time, Aerosmith tickets, 215-592-9494, which you can purchase the tickets for their Wells Fargo Center show September 23rd. You can purchase them today at Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. You can also just win them on our show. And he's long dead, but much accomplished. And a happy birthday, if he was still alive, would go out to Elliot Ness, who, of course, was the one that figured out how to put Al Capone behind bars. Tax evasion. Not killing fools. Tax evasion. All right, in honor of Elliot Ness and the great, you know, the show and the movie, The Untouchables, give us a great answer here at 215-592-9494. Who's untouchable through the years? Now, it can be a play on words.
Is it a who? Or a what?
Or a what? Like, there's many ways to go here for who or what is untouchable. And again, just get creative with your answer. Who or what is untouchable? John Ritchie, give me an answer. And again, the best answer by the end of the show wins the tickets to see Aerosmith.
Of all the things to choose in the world, Joe, yeah. I'm angling, and that is a play on words here, to get you to go out and do something you've never done before.
Oh, a fish.
There you go.
So what's untouchable?
The feeling of hooking a fish, the unknown, the feeling of casting a line out there and hooking into something that's unknown. Like, you have no idea what that thing is on the other side of your line.
Well,
it's under the water. Well, it might not be. Maybe it's a turtle. Maybe it's something else. I don't know. But you're reeling it in. It could be huge. It could be tiny. It could be two things. I don't know. Maybe it's like a... Maybe it's a furry thing that accidentally got on the line. I don't know. There's all sorts of possibilities. It's usually a fish, by the way. Yeah. I mean, 99.9%.
Not normally a furry.
But right. But it's really fun.
Yeah.
And it's a sport. All right, and it's something you've never done, and I really think you should try.
All right. So that feeling. John goes with the feeling there. Devin, give me an answer for who or what is untouchable.
All right. So it's fitting for today. The only person who can release 31 new songs and have millions of people listen to it all the way through once it drops, Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
She is pretty untouchable.
Right? 2 a.m.
Especially with her fan base. Like, you just don't touch Taylor. Like, leave her alone, you know?
All right, Seltzer, give me an answer here for untouchable.
I'll go literal. I'll go something that until 2001 was touchable. Now it is untouchable. You can't touch the Liberty Bell anymore.
The Liberty Bell. That's a really good answer. That's a very good answer. I like that. Rhea, when you think untouchable, what hit you?
Kevin Costner.
In what way?
The Untouchables.
Oh, The Untouchables. Yeah,
the
movie. I gotcha.
The actual other Elliot
Ness.
Yeah, that's right. All right, 215, not Robert Stack. 215-592-9494. You know, when I think untouchable, I think sports and I think trades and I think who you win trade. And in my lifetime, there's no question, the only guy I think that was untouchable to the level he was Michael Jordan in his prime. He's the only player that I remember a conversation back then, pick the year, 92, 93, 96, whatever. I remember hearing it said one time, and I think it was accurate. He was the only player in sports that you would not trade him for an entire other team. Like, there was literally no trade in the NBA, unless you get, like, 100 draft picks, you know, 100 first-round picks. All right. There was no – like, you wouldn't trade Michael Jordan for John Stockton and Karl Malone. You just – it still wouldn't work. It just doesn't work. You would just never trade that guy. Give us a great answer for who or what is untouchable. 215-592-9494. Coming up, Devontae Smith, some of what he said earlier this week. We'll go inside some of the A.J. Brown stuff going on. That and more of your phone calls. Who's untouchable? Are the Eagles a legit Super Bowl contender? And Sixers, Knicks, who you got and why?
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.